Church. My name is Reverend Jacob Tolmo. As he said, as Elder David Kihuma said, I am from Guinea-Conakry, and I'm a minister in St. Andrews here, and I work with the French service. Today, I'm happy to be here with my wife, Esther Haruoni Ntondwe, who is Kenyan. We are born again Christians and we believe in Jesus. He is our Savior. Our theme today is kindness. That's why we are going to see in this story of Ruth how this word is defined in the Bible through the story of Ruth. Ruth said, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There and there will be, I will be buried." Those words are of Ruth's commitment and fidelity to her mother-in-law are also the same which my wife told me when we were getting married in 2015 in Tanariva. But now I wonder, who followed who? It sometimes happens that life has unpleasant surprises. There are times when everything becomes dark at once, when all hope is lost, moments when we see misfortune succeeding without being able to do anything. This is what Ruth's story teaches us. The first point is that in this story, we can see that outside Bethlehem, there is no salvation. Here is Elimelech's family seeking to flee the famine that hit Bethlehem by moving to Moab. A little stop already on this first verse allows us to notice that Bethlehem literally means house of bread. Bread being considered as the staple food for Jews, Bethlehem therefore is the house of life. It symbolizes the presence of God. When we move away from the Lord, from his presence, we are no longer protected. Yet in this house of bread, Bethlehem, it occurs that there is lack, there is famine. That's why the family moved from there to go to Moab. Dear friends, it's not because we are Christian that we are necessarily exempted from all misfortune. No. Christianity does not mean absence of misfortune. Each one of us here can testify that one day we've lost someone, a loved one, or we've had someone who fell sick, or maybe who is now in the hospital. That is also Christianity, because it's life. What to do in this case when there is lack in our lives? In this story, what we can see, the answer to that question is the return to Bethlehem. The return to Bethlehem is a necessity for you, my brother. It's a necessity for you, my sister. The return to Bethlehem is a priority because God gives bread there It is said in verse 6, when Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. 12 times the verb return is used in this small passage of 22 verses. The cause of the return is the intervention of the Lord for his people, who gave them bread. The return is necessary for Naomi. She must go back to where she was named Naomi, because outside Bethlehem she is only bitterness. You see, Naomi means sweetness. And now outside Bethlehem she says, "Call me Mara," which means bitterness. She must go back to become again Naomi. To return for Naomi is to leave Moab, the place of bad memories. Moab is also the place of death. Moab is the place of separation. It's there she was separated from her husband and also her two sons. It is in her decision to return that she finds friendship and comfort. Indeed, you are not unaware that the name Ruth means friendship. It means comfort also. From the lands of Moab, from the place of death and separation, is born friendship and comfort. From this comfort, love is born and hope is born. Naomi, who no longer believed to move or to have any descendant, will have it through Ruth. From death, from despair, from separation, God gives. He gives rise to hope. But this only materializes in the return to Bethlehem. It is in Bethlehem that we find hope, in that house of bread. And Jesus is our bread. Amen. Moreover, the words of Ruth in verse 16 confirm it. She says, even in despair, nothing can separate Naomi from Ruth. In despair, there is no difference of people, of country, or of God. That is what Ruth showed Naomi. I won't leave you. I will go with you. Your people will be my people. You see, she marries everything from Naomi. The difference can no longer oppose them, because there is no difference between them. Even death that separated Naomi from her husband at first and then from her two sons will no longer be able to overcome their bond. Because she says, "Where you die, I will die, and there you will be buried." So even death will not separate them. May the Lord inflict the greatest punishment on me if death separates us, says Ruth. On the way back, even death and misfortunes have no power over the children of God. The return is also the word used to speak of repentance in the Old Testament. There is no generic word to say repent. It's the word return that is used to say repent. In this passage, the return is directed to Bethlehem, the place where God acts. Repentance brings us closer to God and moves us away from Moab. Repentance invites us to turn away completely from the wrong path we took to bring ourselves closer to God. And this is necessary for every Christian. It is in repentance of our sins that we return to Bethlehem, house of bread, house of life. It is in repentance that we have life, because we are reconciled to God. Returning to Bethlehem is waiting for you. God is waiting for you to return to Bethlehem, to his house. He's waiting for you there. He's waiting for me. He's waiting for us, all of us. It's a priority for us to return because the Lord is there. To repent because the Lord is waiting for us. The life of sin will only bring us misfortune and death. But the life of returning to God brings us even closer to him, so that even death will not separate us from his love. It is also on the way home that Naomi realizes that Ruth and Orpah have behaved kindly to her. Naomi said to the two daughters-in-law, "Go ahead, go back each to her mother's house. May the Lord do kindness with you as you did with the dead and with me." For Naomi, all what Ruth did is called kindness. And in the Bible, we have three different words that are used, which we translate by kindness in English. In the Old Testament, we have one, and in the New Testament, we have two different ones. In the Old Testament, the word used to talk about kindness is difficult to find a satisfactory definition of that concept. It's also difficult sometimes to translate it. In fact, you cannot just say it is kindness. It is also, when you say it's kindness, it has to be always followed by love, by compassion, by other words to define it, to give it its whole meaning. However, kindness is the fact that in most cases, someone or God fulfills a real need. It's often described as salvation or protection, which receiving individuals cannot attain by themselves. You see, I cannot say I can get that kindness from myself. It's only God who has it, and it's God who puts that in my heart. Because there's a link between him and I. When I say I also say you. He is the source of that kindness. And that kindness refers to an act of salvation. It refers to an act of protection that a weaker partner expects from the stronger counterpart. And the use of the concept suggests that it is a divine characteristic, as I said, that also humans are called to acquire by being close to God. Rooted in divine nature, kindness is an expression of the relationship between God and the world because of the divine nature. The stubborn obligation of God to Israel to maintain kindness even in the face of their failure to fulfill what is required of them according to the covenant is an indication of the stability and loyalty of divine kindness. And that is in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, as I said, we have two different words that are translated by kindness in English. For the first one, we can do a closer inspection of the several passages which bear this word. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, the kindness is associated with forbearance and long-suffering. It is that attitude of God by which doing good in the face of evil, he leads men to repentance. So the kindness of God is not just to say, I'm satisfied because I did this to Reverend Jacob. No. It is to always remind me that I need him in my life. So I must return to him. And that is repentance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 4, we read of love that it's kind or long-suffering, which indicates that a kindness is meant which overcomes obstacles. You see, sometimes when you do good to people, they don't recognize what you have done to them. They don't even thank you, and they start talking ill of you. You can become bitter. But here, the Lord calls us to be kind. And that kindness is the type of kindness that can accept forgiveness and can bear long suffering. And Christians are called to act towards their brothers and sisters, and even towards outside, those who are outside, to be kind to them. And the second word that is used in the Bible to talk about kindness, we find it in Colossians chapter that we read, chapter 3. That kindness it comes from the word Philadelphia, which gives the names of a state in the U.S., Philadelphia. It's translated by brotherly kindness. It's the love or kindness towards a brother, or more generally, someone with whom one shares a common origin. And in Acts, it's considered that all Christians have the common origin. And in that moment of the first century of Christianity, we know Christians were persecuted. So it was said they were always teaching them to be kind to one another in order to become examples to others. It's when people see that we are kind towards one another that they can believe in our message. We can't just say, I'm a born-again Christian, if I'm not kind. What people will believe? Are they going to believe in what I say or in my deeds? That is the type of kindness Apostle Paul emphasizes on, that we must be kind to one another as Christians. We discover what kindness looks like by observing the word associated with it in the scripture. As I said, kindness is to put aside anger. It is to put aside bitterness, slander, to be tender-hearted and indulgent. It's also imitating God, our Father. It finds companionship with compassion, with humility, with meekness, and with patience. It is associated with patience, holiness of spirit, and genuine love. Lao Tzu said, kindness in word brings confidence. Kindness in thought brings depth. Kindness in giving brings love. And Henry James said, three things in human life are important. The first is to be kind. The second is to be kind. And the third is to be kind. Amen. Why? It's because kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. As said Mark Twain, the the story of two friends who were lost in the desert. As they walked, their water supply ran out. Thirsty, the two men came to dispute the last drops. One ended up hitting the other. The latter wrote on the sand, "Today, my friend hit me." Astonished, his friend said nothing, but he apologized, and they continued their way. They arrived at an oasis and bathed in the water point. But the one who had written on the sand lost consciousness and began to drown. His friend also plunged to save him and brought him back to shore. After regaining consciousness, he engraved on a stone, "Today, my friend saved my life." Then his friend asked him, "Why, when I hurt you, you wrote on the sand, and when I saved you, you wrote on the stone?" He replied, "When someone hurts you, you must write it on the sand where the winds of forgiveness can erase it. But when someone is kind to you by doing something good for you, you must engrave it on a rock where no wind can blow it." Dear friends, the Lord Jesus is calling us to act with kindness towards everyone, without exception. He would like us to behave the same way as Ruth behaved toward her mother-in-law. Even though they were not from the same country, even though they didn't have the same gods, but the way she behaved, that is the way the Lord wants us to behave. He wants us to be kind towards everyone, not even waiting for an answer. Like, "I do something and I wait that you say thank you." No. He wants us to take his heart, and to achieve that, we need to come back to him, to repent. And repentance means changing the way, our way of thinking. In the New Testament, that's how repentance is used. Metanoia means to change my way of thinking. It's when deep inside I'm with God, God and I are one, that I can be one with others. When the relationship with God is not good, it can't be good with you. So we need him in our lives, and that's where we'll be a fruit that will last. May the Lord bless you. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you have taught us. Father, we need you in our lives. We need you to teach us kindness. We need you to prepare our hearts, even when it is difficult for us to accomplish what you have said. We want you to be close to us and always remind us by telling us to do it and to encourage us. Be with everyone here, Lord, for the week that is coming, so that we might be kind towards everyone. In Jesus' name we pray and believe.